Senior Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury, and I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. And I have with me in the studio Nabras A. Taylor, and I'm actually interviewing her today because Auckland is one of the most diverse cities in the world. Believe it or not, it's the fourth most diverse city in the world. So Auckland has a level of diversity that's not found in the rest of New Zealand, and it's a challenge for communities sometimes to respond adequately to the community needs because they are so diverse. And so Nabras is with us today because she's a very organised and very committed person in fulfilling an ethnic community connector's role on the North Shore for the Kaipātiki Local Board, but also working wider across Auckland with their own Harmony Hub focus and with her own business, and also networking with ourselves through Planet's Community Hub, and also working with particular community organisations like the New Zealand Arab Association. So welcome, Nabras.
Marhaba, kia ora. Welcome, Anna. Thank you so much for having me today.
And now, you're a skilled migrant who arrived in New Zealand in 2014, and you've called this place home since 2018. You have a master's degree in medical science with extensive teaching experience in university and high school levels in Iraq and Malaysia. So this gives you a marvellous background as an educator into how to communicate, how to be effective, and how to get your message across. But you're also a mother of two, so that's given you great insight in playgroups and community groups as to how children learn, how children participate, and how communities get together. But I'd like to hear from you about your passion for community engagement, community development, and particularly within the Muslim and Middle Eastern communities, and now how you've spread out into the wider ethnic communities.
Yeah, honestly, I have deep passion for the community engagement and community development and even the grassroots initiative, especially with the Muslim and Middle Eastern community, and how that bring to make it now across the wider ethnic community. I'm using my my experience, all my background and all the experience I got through my working with the community, with the ethnic community, with the Muslim community, with the local community as well, to make this work more strength and more powerful for our ethnic people. Yeah.
Yes. And one of the things that has stood out to me when we looked at putting this program together was how critical it is to link people to resources. And this program has that as one of its pillars of support in the four communities. We do try to do our absolute best to make sure that people are linked up, people are connected, and there's more information flowing out to people. And some people might say to me, well, I've been in a monocultural environment most of my life. I've only recently come to Auckland. I haven't really grappled with this diversity. So why is this important for me? And I'm going to answer my own question in a way, but I know that you will also add to this, Nabras. And that is that as a country, now that we are absorbing so many different people with so many different cultures and backgrounds, we do need to have more unity. We need to unify and understand these different communities and understand the different needs to make sure that no one's left behind, to make sure that we have safe, well-connected cities that work for people, that enable people to feel that they belong. So that's the strongest reason why we would have this program and why this program's important and why we'll continue to follow through and continue to interview people who are working on these issues surrounding diversity. So first of all, I'm wanting to know, as the ethnic community coordinator for the Kaipāraki Community Facilities Trust, what are your key goals in this role, Nabras?
Yeah, actually, this is a very deep question. So my journey in Aotearoa has been shaped by a genuine desire to create meaningful connection and support networks for others. Over the years, I have learned how powerful community space can be in helping people feel safe, welcomed, and included. Working with the different groups has inspired me to continue building this pathway where the people can share their stories, celebrate their identities, and access to all the support that they need to thrive. So actually, even it's not just for start with the ethnic community. From being a Muslim and Middle Eastern connector for almost 5 years in the Kaipāraki area to now serve as an ethnic connector, my work has always focused on advocating for all ethnic communities in Kaipāraki, ensuring their voice needs and strength are recognized and supported. Alongside this role, I co-founded Harmony Hive. What's Harmony Hive? It's an event planner company dedicated part of our work to creating a meaningful culture experience. Through Harmony Hive, we have organized several community events that celebrate Muslim, Middle Eastern, and other diverse culture. I will give you a couple of examples of that. We hold Arabian market and in a North Shore area, and this was the first one in all over Auckland. And even the main concept of that, or main goal, to share the Arabian culture with the wider community, how it's riches, how it's good to enjoy the time together, to bring all the wider community together to celebrate one culture. And we had even another one called Around the World Market, and this one we bring all the ethnic community from different background, different culture, different food taste, and even though different cultural stalls, different performances, the people enjoy the moment. It had been like this whole for 7 hours and was extremely demanded from the people from the North Shore area and was widely successful. Other one we hold this year, the Eid in the Park celebration. This was the first Eid to share with the wider community. Our main focus, not just the Muslim community, even to invite the non-Muslim community around the area to be part of the celebration, sharing culture, sharing our values, sharing the food, taste of the food of the Eid, and all, and so on. So this actually helping to foster understanding, connection, and belonging with the wider community. I remain committed to continue this work, creating a space where all culture can be shared, appreciated, and respected.
Thank you so much for giving us that very full account. And as we look at the main projects for Kaipāraki Ethnic Unity Hub, under this umbrella of the Kaipāraki Community Facilities Trust, I'm interested to know about the main focus of the Unity Hub, and I understand it's really to serve as a central place for ethnic communities to access information, support, and resources. But can you give us a flavour of what that looks like? Is it, does it have a shop front? Does it have a meeting place? I mean, obviously there are people driving it, but just how does it function?
Amazing. Actually, let's just first of all acknowledge the great work that Cape Ateke Community Facility Trust doing to support our wider community, not specifically our ethnic community. They have been doing that for almost now 40 years for the wider community. Create a lot of grassroots initiative in the area. They are serving the community tireless to just bring all the community together. So from that, this initiative comes. So started by a smaller project, focusing like 7 years ago, focusing with the Muslim community, and then extend to cover Middle Eastern community for a couple of years. And from the last years, from the last year, we extend all the project to cover and serve our ethnic community in the area, because we believe the Cape Ateke area, it's richest area in the North Shore from the wider ethnic community. We have a wide range of ethnic leader and ethnic people lived in the area. They went to the school, used the park and the facilities there. So the other point, how this initiative start, our main goal in the beginning, we want to build the bridge between the dedicated ethnic leaders in the area and the Cape Ateke local board. And through that, we had four forums, invited the most dedicated ethnic leader in the area. We have like Chinese ethnic leader, Japanese ethnic leader from Russia, from India, from Korea, from Chinese and Japanese and Middle Eastern people, Latin American people. We give them a chance to sit directly with the local board member and introduce their work and what have been done for many years for their community in the Cape Ateke area and what they are planning to do as well. So send that, give us what's our goal, what we need to focus on. When we put our goal, so we decided to advocate for voices, need and strength the diverse of ethnic group, building strong relationship between the community and the local leader and the service provided. Also promoting inclusive belonging and engagement across the Cape Ateke area, supporting initiative that strength the cultural understanding and the community resilience.
Fantastic. So with this strong network of connected people, providing support, expanding awareness and understanding, you've got the basis for doing a number of events and a number of different initiatives. And it seems to me that the heart of all of this is the passion that you have for doing it. Like, this actually becomes the juice, the motivation that drives the success. And so it does rest on those leadership characteristics, on the passion, and on the willingness of the Cape Ateke local board to continue the funding for this. And so I acknowledge all of that. During emergencies, and Cape Ateke was very central to the experience of the floods of 2023. During such emergencies, we could see there were gaps at the community level in terms of response, in terms of knowledge and awareness of how to reach out and what to do. And people died and people suffered great losses. So there was a re-evaluation going on anyway across the city of the emergency management system, of its failings and shortcomings, and what was needed to put in place to replace it. So I'm wondering about how you applied the reflective process around these questions. Did the experience of 2023 play a role in how you developed your ethnic unity hub?
Definitely. I will share with you even a story comes from the Cape Attica Community Facility Trust. They were the first one response to the emergency plan, and they have a good connection with the Auckland Council Emergency Services, and they played their own plan specifically for the Cape Attica area, emergency plan specifically for the Cape Attica area. And they include all the local services and the highly need one in the emergency time. Plus that, they have well connected with the ethnic leader that through the Cape Attica Ethnic Unity have a project, so we can help and strengthen them and empower them in the hard time. Yep.
That's great. So with all this newfound awareness of the needs and with the key people involved, you will be able to move into planning in some sort of depth for this year. So can you talk about the events that you've got coming up, the cultural events that are going to help deepen people's awareness and understanding? You mentioned the Eid carnival before, but I'm also aware that Ramadan is celebrated, and you've got plans for Ramadan.
Yeah, that's great. So this two project, it's under the my role as an event planner team lead from the Harmony Hive. And through that, as I mentioned earlier, I'm supporting and dedicative our time as a team to raise awareness about the Muslim and Middle Eastern culture. So that's why we are dedicative our time to be part of from the event and organize it in the well way. So the first one we are planning to do, it's Ramadan Iftar. That will be in a partnership with the New Zealand Arab Association and supporting from the from the Ministries of Ethnic Communities and Foundation North and Auckland Council and a lot of Muslim organization. They will be part from that to well present it to the community. The most interesting and new thing in that is this event is just not just for the Muslim. We were inviting and welcomed all the non-Muslim to be part of from that, share the spirit of Ramadan, sharing the meal together, have the chat, and you know, it's just we want to break down the boundaries between those community and give them a chance to share the culture together, share the joy of Ramadan, why we are celebrating. I think this is a big gap for the Muslim community. They haven't done that before with the wider community. This is our main goal. So this will be a big event. We are expecting the number between 500 to 700 people to attend. Welcome to anyone to attend, and be a free iftar for everyone, free activity for the kids, women workshop, and so on.
That's exciting. Have you got a venue for this event?
Yeah, we have a great support from the Auckland Council. They provide the venue for us, so it's already booked for 28th of February. Will be in Te Atawa Peninsula Community Center.
Ah, okay. Very good. And Ramadan, that's for the Ramadan period, or?
Yes, it's during the Ramadan, because as you know, the Ramadan is 1 month and 30 days, and we will do it in 28th, in the beginning of Ramadan. Yeah.
Ah, at the beginning, right.
Yeah.
And sometimes groups celebrate the end of Ramadan.
Yes.
So I'm wondering, your celebration is going to kick it off.
Yes. So the end of Ramadan, after Ramadan, 30 days, we always celebrating. It's a part of like continue the celebration after Ramadan. We call it Eid. And what is the Eid? It's a special celebration for the Muslim community. So usually we share the all the love and joy with the people we love, with the family, with the friends, and with the wider Muslim community. And even though we used to live like that, we share it not just with the Muslim community, with the other people around us. So bring that to be life here as well. We are dedicating our time to create another event next year. We had it already this year. It's called Eid in the Park, and it was greatly successful in the Upper Harbor area. And from the outcome of this event, the highly demand and a lot of people from different backgrounds attained, and the love and the joy of this day. So we are committed to do it again, but more bigger, more supportive from Upper Harbor Local Board, and even from Harbor Sport and Albany Domain Community House. We have a great supportive from them to hold this event. So we will have it. We already booked for the 11th of April. So we'll be public event, free event for everyone. Welcome to share the joy of Eid. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. So we hope to have you on air next year, closer to the event,
yeah,
and sharing more information with us about it. So thank you very much for that. And then I am wanting to find out about what inspired you to take on the role of ethnic community connector, the role that you have currently. What can you tell me some stories, some actual situations that led to your growing awareness of how important this work was?
Yeah, maybe this comes from my childhood, because I used to live in very big family, big gathering, and when I came here as a I don't have any of my family with me here, and I need to create my own family, and I need to create my own space here. So having two kids and my husband, and you know, I started to figure out from where we can start. So I think it's all comes together to inspire me to take on the role of the ethnic connector. Comes from the deep passion for bringing people together and seeing communities thrive. And this is honestly start once I arrived to New Zealand. I noticed how important it was for the ethnic community, including the Muslim and Middle Eastern group, to have voice, feel included, be part of the local decision making. And over the time, my experience supporting families and leading grassroots initiative showed me just how powerful connection can be. Linking people to the right resources, networks, opportunities, and can transform the lives, strengthen communities, and create a sense of belonging for everyone. So being the ethnic connector always me to champion the needs of all the ethnic group in the Cape Atiki area. And honestly, not to stop just in the Cape Atiki area, I have like a passion to help all the people in my way if they are struggling or sharing their story from with me. So I'm dedicated my time to help them, because I know exactly what they are facing, especially if they are in New Zealand. Help them access the essential services and create a space where the people feel seen, heard, and valued is incredibly rewarding to witness community coming together, celebrating their culture, and growing strong as one. All the time, the people, they ask me how many hours you are working, and always I'm sharing with them to be in the community work. It's working. It means you are working 7 days, 24 hours. There is no control. I have sometimes complain from the family, you are busy, but you know, I feel the rewarding work of the community. It's just just help me to continue and just inspire me to continue and to be more giving, to be more like inspiring even to other the people around me and even for my kids, just to give them a role model how they can be in the future, how they can serve their community, how they can be a dedicated people to build their own home or Otorua.
Thank you very much. I know the danger with being dedicated community worker is one of burnout, and to compensate that and balance out, that's one of the things we promote on the station, is particularly on our program, is the five ways to well-being. And I wanted to ask you, Nabras, how you employ the five ways to well-being in the projects that you plan and in your own work role.
Yeah. So working with the community and with the wider and this rich community from different background, and learn more about the Maori culture and how it reaches, and I learned a lot. And in my way of learning, I just heard something make me very interesting about the five Maori principle. So when I start build the project of the Kaipatiki Ethnic Unity Hub, I felt it will be perfect if we align this five principle to this project, so we can understand the people need, we can serve them in the right way, covering their needs, and bring them all together and build the trust with them as well. So that's exactly will cover the connect, give, be active, and take notice and keep learning. That's what exactly we are aiming, and we continue to do that with the community, with the ethnic, and with the wider community.
Wow. Such a clear vision, and you were so convincing. You have me wanting to join your team, yes.
Yeah.
I'm sure that people may want to contact you, whether they are from other ethnic communities who want to become inspired to do their own thing, or whether they are people who just want to know more about these celebrations that are upcoming, or whether they are people who want to know more about how to become involved with what you're actually doing. So can you tell us about the website and ways to contact you?
Yeah, so they can access me easily through the Kaipatiki Community Facility Trust website. So they have their, it's my contact number, my email, and through the Facebook platform, and also the social media, the other platform, it's the Instagram. And also we are sharing all the ethnic communities initiatives, and through the WhatsApp group, WeChat, and emails with the community centers in the area, and we have a good network, especially in the North Shore area.
So can you tell us that website so people can go there?
So www.kaipatikicommunityfacilitytrust.co.nz.
Ah, so Kaipatiki Community Facilities Trust. .com.
Yeah.
Right.
So I can share even my email. It's more easier. So nibras@kcft.co.nz, nibras.co@kcft.co.nz, and my number is 021-03-02938. Always the Kaipatiki Community Facility Trust doors is open for the wider community and specifically for the ethnic community anytime. Thank you
very much, Nabras, for sharing with us and sharing those details. And please go to the website if you need to check out that phone number. And thank you for listening to all our listeners. We hope you stay tuned, because we've got lots of exciting things coming up over Christmas. Thank you so much.
Be sure.
Get to get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus.
On air, online, on demand, in your language. Planet FM on planetaudio.org.nz.
The Sports Weekender features interviews with sports people and commentators, local and national sports update, and a roundup of the latest from the world of sports. I'm your host, Piggy. You can join me for 2 hours every Saturday from 9:40 a.m. on Planet 104.6 FM or listen online on planetaudio.org.nz/you.